One man was seen running down the hallway just before his operation, which I can understand. I've never had major surgery except when I was 3 on my eyes. I wouldn't do very well. And this guy's running in his hospital gown just to run away from the operating room. The receptionist said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I heard my nurse say it's a very simple operation. I'm sure it'll be all right." And the receptionist said, "Well, what's wrong with that? I'm sure she's just trying to encourage you." And he said, "Well, she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to the doctor." There's no shortage of things in life to worry about. I have a buddy in Cincinnati who wears me out worrying about the government spying on us. I can't ever talk to him without it somehow getting to the subject of the government spying on us. Now, I don't know. Maybe they do. It won't change my daily routine, but it does his. He's downright paranoid. And in researching for this sermon, I came across a guy named Jack Vail, who goes around to different Walmarts and makes these videos about the paranoia of people. I want to show you a clip from one of Jack Vail's videos. Check this out.
You know she's in the cleaning area? Kind of where all the cleaning's clean, probably. She's kind of debating on what to... Oh, she's reaching up for the purple gloves. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, that's fine. I don't see any problem with that. Apparently, we don't need to clean anything too bad, because we're just going to go to the end of the aisle and make a right. Yeah. Okay. That's where she is now. She just put one back under the shelf. Yeah. Well, there's bread in the top section of the cart. Right. She's still looking at it like maybe there's a possibility of more, but not quite sure yet, so we're still waiting to find out. And now, kind of looking at the dry area as well, the dry food. Now he's looking at the Christmas wreaths. I'm not sure which one she's gonna get, but there are two gray ones with two lids, so yeah, okay, she got both of them. We're turning around right now, we're getting ready. Now we're gonna go down a different aisle. There they go. We might get another one. Yeah, we might. Looking at them and thinking about it, no, we're just going to get the two.
They couldn't show you the end of it because he got hit over the head with a tub. So all kind of things in life to worry about, everything from falling on the ice coming into church to someone spying on us at Walmart to nuclear war with North Korea. Charles Swindoll made this observation years ago. Worries can be mental monsters that crawl into our head, then go to bed with us and steal our sleep. Some worries never seem to take a vacation. Several years ago, I was flying out of Louisville to Baltimore, and I drove up the Kentucky side of the river, which was a better way to go from where I lived, on 71. I stopped at a gas station to fill up, get a pack of gum for the plane. As I'm walking in early in the morning, I see all these security cameras. And I'm reminded this place has probably been robbed. I go in, the cashier's behind this huge plexiglass window. It actually has bars on it. So I slide my money in this little hole. You can barely get the money in. To the left of me was a stack of newspapers, the Louisville Courier Journal. And the headline, 94 people killed in a terrorist attack. I get in my car and an Amber Alert comes on. A kid in Indiana had been taken by a young male in his 20s driving a white sedan. So I'm checking out every interstate on the car to see if I can see that white sedan so I can report him to the police. I get down the highway, and the digital sign above me says 830 people killed on Kentucky highways this year. I get in the airport, and this nice, soothing voice comes on over the speakers and says the national security threat level has been elevated to orange. And I'm thinking, well, that ain't good. And then I hear that same soothing voice say, if you see any unattended bags, report them to security. And I see an unattended bag. It's a diaper bag, but it's unattended. And I see a mom and a toddler. But I've watched enough Law and Order to know you can't trust them. So I get on the airplane. The flight attendant starts talking about oxygen masks that drop out of the ceiling, and how my seat can be used to go tubing should this plane go down in the water. And I'm thinking, by the time I get off the plane, what kind of world do I live in? I need Prozac. I need a brown paper bag to breathe in. What is going on? And a question that needs to be answered, and can be, thankfully, how do we trade the chaos out there for the calm in here? Another reason I'm thankful for the Bible, especially the words of Jesus. Now, don't tune me out. Just because you've heard this passage over and over, you're tempted to think, okay, we've heard this before. Well, hear it again, but listen as if the Lord himself, which he is speaking directly to you. How practical this is in the middle of Jesus' famous sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Here's what he says. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? Your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries in single moment add a single moment to your life? No. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully, not just cares, but so wonderfully for wildflowers that they're here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. I don't know if you have ever broken the categories down that Jesus mentioned about the things we worry about. They're broken down into four things: finances, food, fashion, and our future. Finances, I mean, can I afford my kids' college? Rent payment is due, and I don't have it. My car needs a new transmission. Food, should I eat that with my family's history? I mean, it looks good, but it's high in cholesterol. When did cholesterol come around? Because when I was a kid, we didn't have cholesterol. I mean, if we'd have had it, we'd have fried it. We fried everything back then. Fashion, do I need another pair of shoes? I have nothing to wear to that job interview. How about the future? Will my kids find good spouses? Will they be able to land a good job? Will they hold on to their faith? I have a prop up here. I almost lost my prop because Charlie was messing with it, and I thought he was going to drink it during the early service. Alan, you can probably help me with this. This is not real scientific. I have no idea how much this weighs. I didn't have time to weigh it. There's a few ounces of water. It's a heavy glass, maybe 6-7 ounces of water. I don't know, maybe 8. So if I guessed around a pound, Alan, you think I'd be close? Maybe? Okay, around a pound. We'll say that for teaching's sake. Everybody in here probably can hold this. And I can too, so it's no big deal how much it weighs because I can hold it. I can hold it for a few minutes. But if you come back tomorrow and I'm in the same spot and I've been holding it that whole time, guess what? All of a sudden, it's heavier than it was when I started holding it. It's the same weight, but because I've held on to it for so long, all of a sudden, it gets heavy. Now, there's a lesson here. The longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. Not just true of a glass of water. Cancer, heavy. Bankruptcy, heavy. Divorce, heavy. And the longer I hold on to those things, emotionally, the heavier they become day after day after day. It's why the proverb writer said, an anxious heart weighs a man down. I don't know if you knew this or not. Amazon tracks everything that is read on an e-book. If you're reading a Kindle or an iPad and you highlight a sentence or underline a paragraph, they make an electronic notation of that, and every year they make it known what is the most read book, ebook, and what is the most read section or highlighted section of that book. I bet you cannot guess what the most highlighted section of the Bible was in 2017. Not John 3:16, not Psalm 23, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't miss the practical application. Prayer leads to peace. Peace flows from prayer. When we hand God the weight of our worries, he hands us a peace that passes all understanding. I'll give you a testimony. When I was in Bible college, I convinced myself that I could lead a church. I took some classes and I studied and I saw what others were doing and I thought, how hard can that be? And then it happened. At age 17, I was expected to lead a church. I mean, honestly, our church sign should have had a message on it that read, attend our church where the preacher doesn't have a clue. So I got the job and I sat down with the leaders and I asked them what they expected of me and what they would pay me and how many hours they wanted from me, and it all worked out. And everything in my job description was summed up in two words: preach and pastor. And that's what I did. But then an interesting thing started to happen. People started bringing me their glasses of heavy water. And I'm telling you, some of those glasses, especially at that age, they were almost more than I could hold. Hey, Mark, will you sit down with my teenage sons and help them understand why their dad took his life? Hey, Mark, can you go with me to talk to my wife? I need to confess to her that I've had an affair and it's going to break her heart. Hey, Mark, we're going to have a funeral service for our one-year-old baby who died in her crib with no explanation. We know you'll find the right words. Getting heavy. Hey, Mark, we have a court appearance, and they may take him away for a long time. Can you be with us? Because it's going to break our hearts. These are not hypothetical, by the way. Hey, Mark, we can't decide as a family if we should unhook him from his breathing tube and let him go on or cling to hope that he may come back to us. We want you to tell us what to do. Hey, Mark, she's on her way to the hospital right now and doesn't know that her husband didn't make it. Can you be the first to meet her and tell her what happened? And people just kept bringing me their glasses of heavy water. And it got heavier and heavier and heavier. And I would preach on pain and I would preach on how to deal with it. But the truth is, it was more than I could hold. I knew what Paul meant when he said in 2 Corinthians 11, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. I could fist bump him on that scripture. Ministry is like dog years. It'll age you pretty quick. Many years ago, we had a family of five taken in a car crash. I was involved in all five funerals. I was spent. I couldn't hold anybody. I could barely hold my own water, let alone hang on to somebody else's. So I knew right then and there, I need something added to my job description, because this ain't going to last very long. I'll preach and I'll pastor, but we need to add this third element. Preach and pastor and pray. It's like a lot of things in life. If you don't get the formula right or you leave out an important part, the whole thing is out of whack. Wouldn't you like to be given $64,000 for answering a question? Anybody here? Let me see hands. Okay, well, you don't get it for that one. I'm just seeing who's participating, so. In the final round of $64,000 question, three contestants remained, a Hoosier, a Buckeye, and a Kentuckian. The question was, finish the following song title and spell the answer. It's simple. Old MacDonald had a what? And the Hoosier went first and said, Old MacDonald had an estate, E-S-T-A-T-E. And the announcer said, well, wrong answer, but right spelling, sorry. So the Buckeye, for $64,000, Old MacDonald had a what? The Buckeye said, Old MacDonald had a ranch, R-A-N-C-H. Announcer said, wrong answer, but right spelling. Well, the Kentuckian can't contain himself. He's bouncing up and down like a pogo stick. He said, I know this, I know this, I know this. So the announcer asked him, okay, for $64,000, Old MacDonald had a what? The old Kentuckian said, farm, E-I-E-I-O. It's important to get the whole formula correct. And all the preaching and pastoring I was doing wasn't enough without the help of prayer. Now, I was already praying. I've prayed all my life. But I began to pray to where I would take somebody's heavy water with me when I prayed and just leave it when I left. We learned a parable in Bible college that applies to giving. but it also applies to everything. Did you realize, I think you all would amen this, right? Everything we have belongs to God. Amen? Well, you're not real convinced about it. Everything we have belongs to God. Amen? That not only includes our money, that includes our heartache too. If he has all of you, he doesn't just have the money and the house and the relationship. He has all of you. I used to have this memorized. I do not. Let me share this parable written by Juan Carlos Ortiz. I want this pearl. How much is it? Well, the seller says it's very expensive. Well, how much? Well, a large amount. Well, do you think I could buy it? Oh, anybody can buy it. Well, didn't you say it was expensive? Yes. Well, how much is it? Everything you have, said the seller. We make up our minds, all right, I'll buy it. We say, well, what do you have? We'll write it down. Well, I have $10,000 in the bank. Good, $10,000. What else? Well, that's all I have. Nothing more, asked the seller. Well, I have a few dollars in my pocket. How much? I start digging. $20, $30, $60, $62. Well, that's fine. What else do you have? I don't have anything else. Well, where do you live? In my house. Oh, you have a house. Well, write that down. You mean I have to live in my camper? Oh, you have a camper. Write that down. Well, I guess I'll have to sleep in my car. Oh, you have a car. No, I have two cars. Well, I'll take them both. Well, you have my money, my house, my camper, and my cars. What more do you want? Are you alone in this world? The seller asked. No, I have a wife and six children. I'll take them too. What else? I don't have anything left. I'm all alone now. Suddenly the seller says, oh, wait a minute, I almost forgot. You? I want you too. I'll take you too. He goes on to say, I will allow you to use all these things for the time being, but don't forget, they're mine just as you are, and whenever I need any of them, you got to give them up because now I'm the owner. Nobody here would argue that parable when it comes to the things we own. But that principle is equally true of our hurt and our pain and our loneliness. You should take comfort from this. God wants all of you. That includes the bad junk too. I'm more understanding of the truth that was shared by Corrie Ten Boom, that amazing Dutch lady who survived the Nazi concentration camp. She was told that her release was the result of a clerical error. How about that? And a week later, all the women in her age category faced the gas chamber. But because of a clerical error, 1 week previous, she was spared. She died on her 91st birthday, but not before she said this: there is no panic in heaven. God has no problems, only plans. If you want to exchange panic for peace, the Bible tells you how to do it. We said a prayer when we were kids. Maybe you said the same prayer. Usually happened at supper time. God is great. God is good. And we thank him for this food. Always like to rhyme things. Anybody here ever use that prayer with yourself or your kids? Let me see hands. Kind of a universal prayer, right? We had others at our house that we used all the time. Good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. Amen. My dad would say, Lazarus rose, Moses led, Noah built, Jesus fed. Amen. Teenager, we'd pray, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. Amen. And then David, as a kid, would say, thank you for family, thank you for friends, thank you for mom not burning supper again. Amen. Well, the beginning of the prayer that we learned as kids was God is good. And there's a lot of people who will hear me preach today that really don't believe that. Because of what you've been through or what you've experienced, listen, God didn't create pain. Don't include God in your sickness and your accidents and your poor health. Scripturally speaking, he's not responsible for that. The truth is, God is good even when life isn't good to me. I've got three ways I want to mention in the few minutes we have left, and I'm just going to touch on them quickly, that will help you if you want to try and deal with anxiety and worry. If you're a note taker, here's what you should write down. Number one, keep in mind there's a bigger picture. Jesus said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Listen, if you knew, this includes you, Jeff, with the new house, if you knew your house was going to completely burn to the ground tomorrow, Would anybody in here wax the floors today? Now, I'm OCD with keeping clean, but I think I'd be okay with letting that one go. Would anybody paint a bedroom if you knew that that house was going to burn down tomorrow? No, you would remove everything you could in that house that meant anything to you. 100 years from now, it won't matter that you were 5 pounds overweight, your son didn't make first team, your wife put a dent in the fender of your car, or people thought your tie didn't match your jacket. I've told people in class before. I was driving through Harrison, Ohio years ago, and I picked up a hitchhiker. I honestly have always loved to. I know there's bad stories now, but you never know when there might be that unexpected angel along the way. Well, this guy wasn't him, but he did look like this guy, dead ringer for Jimmy Buffett. I mean, all the way down to the flip-flops and the pop-tops. He was right there in my car, and I couldn't get him to say a word except to tell me where he wanted to go. He was going to Silver Grove, which happened to be on my way to Brookville. So, hey, no problem, bro. I'll take you. And I'm trying to engage him in conversation. I don't even know his name. He wouldn't tell me. He just wouldn't talk. I mean, he had a grin on his face like he was a happy-go-lucky guy, but I couldn't get him to say anything. We come on this accident, and the road to Brookville from Bright, Indiana, if there's an accident, there's no other, you're just stuck. Well, I keep looking at my watch because I got to be somewhere. And I start to kind of fuss out loud a little bit, you know, like, man, come on, I'm going to be late. And this guy who was in no hurry, because evidently he was going to Margaritaville, all of a sudden he speaks, and what he said was downright biblical. He looked over at me and he said, hey, dude, don't sweat the small stuff. That's pretty good advice, because compared to eternal things, almost everything in my life is small stuff. That's why it's good to come and be a part of a church and be reminded that life is more important than food and the body more than clothes. There is a bigger picture. Secondly, understand you have a brighter position. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Are you not much more valuable than they? You ever heard the expression, she eats like a bird? Anybody in here eat like a bird? Did you know that a bird can eat 2 or 3 times their weight in food every day? If a human being ate like a bird, they would consume 200, 300, 500 pounds of food every day. And you never hear birds chirping in the middle of the night. Why is that? Sometimes go to the woods, look up in a tree, I'm sure Terry does this, and see a bird's nest, and he can verify this. 100% of the time, you will not find one bird's nest with an addition built onto the back. No basement, no garage. No pantry. Something happened to us when we became adults. Our trust began to erode, and the older we got, the more we started building these safe, protected lives. And the only way to do that, undo that sometimes, is to go back and be a kid again. A few years ago, I don't know if any of you saw this, there was an idea circulating around, this is cool, for Mother's Day, where you take a childlike photo and then recreate it years later with your brothers or whoever and give it to your mom for Mother's Day. Anybody ever see these? This was hot several years ago. I picked out a few that stood out to me. Check this out. Notice the detail. I mean, the hands are in the same place, facial expressions. Here's another one. Look at the dude down in the corner. The only thing that's changed is he has hair now. How about this one? They just kept coming. Here's one right here. Check it out. There they go, right there. They started to get creepy at that point, so I turned them off. There's something that birds and kids have in common, and why Jesus used them as illustrations all the time. Birds and kids instinctively trust that their creator is good. And if you and I could understand the privileged position we occupy in God's eyes, it would help us realize we are in a brighter position than we ever thought we were. Bigger picture, brighter position. I'll close with this. You need to develop a better perspective. Jesus said, each day has enough trouble of its own. I love that. He didn't say nothing bad will happen tomorrow because he always told the truth. The lesson was live today, because a lot can happen today. It happened to the Valu family not far from here. A month ago, Olivia was admitted to the hospital on February 6th with the flu. After getting her temperature under control and fluids back in her body, she was sent home because she was showing improvement. And then unexpectedly, this little sweetheart, who would have turned 4 on March 20, she went to be with the Lord. Incredible heartbreak for that family, and many have reached out to them. On a homemade memorial, Olivia's grandmother wrote these words, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, up in heaven is where you are. Flying high, twinkling bright, beautiful star, shining light, twinkle, twinkle, little star. My perfect angel is what you are." Scouring through stuff that was read and said, I was amazed by what Olivia's uncle had to say. Again, downright biblical. We go through life pretending to know too much, pretending to know that we have tomorrow or next week or 5 and 10 years from now, when the truth is today is what we have just today, and I'm going to start today to squeeze every ounce of joy and love and importance out of this, the only time I truly have today. I'm a fan of this guy. This is Bill Keane. He's an American cartoonist known for his work on the long-running newspaper comic The Family Circus, if you've ever read those. Began its run in 1960. I hope I'm like this when I'm his age. This man has overcome so much adversity in his life. The losses he experienced personally, tragic, you'll never hear about. He never talks about them. And he tells you his reasoning for being involved in comics is because he sees the important role that attitude plays in our lives. You think I'm some kind of jokester just to get a laugh? I've been joking my way through life, but it's on purpose. Kurt was in the office the other day, and I flipped the lights off and on Priscilla or something, and he said, Mark, I've come to appreciate your childlike exuberance. That's his way of saying I'm a snot-nosed kid still, but I appreciate that. I travel through life with the purpose of making sure my attitude and the attitude of the people around me try to stay where it needs to be. It's no wonder this man who's experienced incredible tragedy is the one who came up with that little saying that we often hear. Bill Keane wrote this, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift from God." That's why we call it the present. Bigger picture, brighter position, better perspective, all leads to sweet dreams.